We want to get that question recorded so people hear what I'm answering. And it may take me the whole 10 minutes to answer this question. So,
I grew up in an old house that was built in the 1800s in Albion, New York. And the story goes that when it was a hotel, that they had bought William Morgan and had placed him in the attic of the hotel overnight on their way to take him to Fort Niagara to execute him. So I was just wondering how to break. I mean, obviously there's a curse on the land because of that, and if there was a curse over my family because of that.
So do you know who William Morgan is or was? He was going to expose Freemasonry. The only way out of Freemasonry was death. The only way out of cults, except for the grace of God, is death. The only way out of gangs, which are cults, except for the grace of God, is death. So, let me start by doing this. I said it may take me 10 minutes to answer this question. You know what this is? It's time in foldable form. That's all money is. I exchanged my time for this. You have two eternal currencies that are of great value: your words and your time. Except for 24 hours and 10 minutes, the day the sun stood still and the day the sun backed up 10 steps, once you spend a minute, unless God intervenes, you can't get that minute back. Once you speak a word, unless you repent and renounce it and bring it back, that word is out there for eternity, and you're going to answer before the throne of grace or judgment, depending which one you're going to, for it. So this is my time. Anything I spend my time on, I have authority over. So if I rent a hotel room, we travel around the world, we pray the blood of Jesus around our room. We close the vents, we close the ceilings, the floors, the walls, the windows, the doors. Are we hyper? No, we just understand that spiritual warfare goes where we go. It goes where you go. I want to win. And so anything I exchange my time for or my currency for becomes my possession for the amount of time that I have it. If you pay a mortgage or you pay rent, that's yours. If you pay taxes, this is why we can cleanse the land of our city and our towns, our villages and our county. If you pay taxes, it is yours. It is also anybody that's involved in any occult that's paying taxes. They know and do this more than we do. They are more diligent to take their kingdom forward than most Christians have been, not anymore. So, if, and I live in an 1820s farmhouse, if my land was defiled, or even if it wasn't, it is my right and my commandment from the Lord to steward everything that was entrusted to me. Jesus said, occupy until I return. So if it's an apartment, I'm to steward that apartment. If it's my 2 acres, I'm to steward my 2 acres. If it's my 22,000 acres, I'm supposed to steward that. Whatever spheres he gives you, he expects you to steward until he returns. And so I need to use the tools the Lord gave me to break any curse structure. The blood of the Lamb is the most powerful tool, because Proverbs 26:2 says that an undeserved curse cannot come to rest. Anything that is put under the blood of the Lamb, he became a curse in our place, just to condense a huge teaching down into a couple phrases. If there was a curse structure that came because some of the former owners, that's why we pray over our hotel rooms. You don't know what took place there the night before. We have a handwritten history of our property back until the day that the town Ogden, the owner that the town was named after, owned the land. There wasn't a house on it then. And so we know who it passed to, from divorce, from death, from sale, from whatever. So we know the history. That's called spiritual mapping if you're looking to cleanse the land. It's called doing a literature search or a research project if you're doing science. And so you do the spiritual mapping, you find out what was there. If you know that someone was being taken captive to shed their blood illegally because they were going to expose something, that's illegal shedding of blood. The only legal shedding of blood is warfare. Other whole teaching. But if you know that that took place, you can repent. Remember, all warfare is repent, renounce, break, and replace. Repent, renounce, break, and replace. I repent of any involvement of the occult or whatever it happens to have been that took place in my house or on my property. I renounce all involvement with it and say that it no longer has any place because I dedicate this to the Lord Jesus Christ. I break every hold. I break every ley line. I sever every ungodly soul tie. I cleanse every familiar object. A familiar object is something like a lightning rod in the dark spirit that allows darkness to come to it. A vav that you and I, we connect heaven and earth. We're a lightning rod for his glory. A familiar object is something like a fetish, a keychain. One of those objects or symbols of Freemasonry that's hanging on someone's wall. When you see that, you can... Brother was telling me that he set his family free from Freemasonry. And he burned their books. That's biblical. Because they're full of curses, which is a familiar object that draws things. Why do things keep happening on certain anniversary dates? Because that's the date they brought this Morgan into the house. And so, do demons understand time and anniversary? Yes. And so we close the doors to those things. So now I've repented, I've renounced, I've broken its hold, and I replace it. I replace that breaking of covenant with the foundation of the covenant with Jesus Christ. I covenant this land, I seven this land, which is a biblical term for setting covenant, this land with heaven. We can go into a whole thing on land cleansing, but not going to go there. I renounce any breaking of covenant, and I establish new covenants. I renounce the shedding of innocent blood, and I replace it now, and I say that the blood of the Lamb covers this land, and every place my footsteps is now sealed. Is that biblical? Every place you put your foot, I now seal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a whole different teaching on strategic warfare attack teams and how to do land cleansings, how to do water cleansings. We've done a lot of this in the region. But it doesn't matter what the issue was. This one happened to be tied to the Masonic. So, does that help? You do the same thing you were going to do for your land as if you were going to do it for you. I do it in my Jerusalem, then I can do it in my Judea, my property, then I can do it in my Samaria, my village, my town, then I can do it in the uttermost parts of the earth. Once I do the spiritual warfare for the temple he's given me to steward, my wife and I do it for our family and our entrusted properties, whether it's rented or purchased, anything you exchange your time, your money for, is yours to steward for the Lord. And by the way, he is going to hold us accountable for that and our words. And so we have lots of time to repent of them and get it right. One more quick question. Someone have a quick question? I want to record the question so people listening online can...
My mother-in-law is in a Masonic temple nursing home in Connecticut. I'm not aware of any previous activity in my family, but she's living there now, and we have a new baby on the way, and I am very concerned.
So that wasn't a question, but it was a situation. Remember we said no matter how pretty we make it look, the Shriners' hospitals, no matter how lovely you make it look, it is still covered by that. Now, There's two parts. Your mother's there. That's one generation. A new baby's coming. I'm assuming that's the fourth generation from your mother. Yeah, so it's the fourth generation. God is a God of generations. That's how the enemy works. I want to address this. What you do with your mom is between you and your family. Personally, I would not have my family in a place that I'm going to have to war every day, because it's not yours. You are spending your money for that little room, but as soon as she steps out of that room, you got to deal with it. As soon as someone comes into the room, you've got to deal with it every day. That's fine for me, but if your mom's like my dad, they're not going to do the warfare. Here's how the enemy works. Judges chapter 3 says that God left some of the enemies in the land so that the generation that did not know how to war or did not know war would learn how to war. I have stood against things that were in my bloodline, so I've won the victory for it. It took many years. I stood with my son, our daughter. I'm going to use it from a male perspective, doesn't matter which. And he didn't have to go through a lot of the things that I went through, but we stood and he has stopped it. That's two generations. Now, if we don't stand for this generation, the enemy will be perfectly happy to outweigh us. And now this generation doesn't even know anything about what took place. And so they're blindsided and it gets four new generations. But now Casey and I and our son and his wife are standing for our grandchildren, so that they will be able to walk in liberty. And when they have kids, these three generations will stand. When it's broken, and if it's a three-generation curse or a four-generation curse, the enemy is a legalist. He knows what the Word gives us authority to do. We need to know what the Word gives us authority to do. When we break it for that period, the enemy can no longer visit that in our bloodline. He can no longer, it's literally like cleansing our DNA. Now, we had one of the last sessions, we talked about how our DNA literally changes chemically from the result of traumas and issues that happen to us. The Lord literally redeems it when we honor him across the generations. That's what he's looking for right now. He's looking for three generations to worship together. And that's not singing songs. That means to agree together. That's why Genesis 22 this year is such a key passage. Isaac and Abraham worshiped together. Isaac was a 35-year-old man. He wasn't a little boy. His father bound him. Isaac helped climb on the altar, and they agreed that they were going to do whatever the Most High God asked them to do. That's worship. He's looking for three generations to agree that he's God. That's worship. And that's where we are in time right now. So how we do that, we did. When we looked for a place for my parents, we researched it. We had obviously several options here. But there are times where we're going to have to do the warfare. Where we had Casey's father, before he passed away, was not there, but there were Freemason people coming and going, living there. So we had to do the prayer over his place. He was not saved. But 6 weeks before he died, I led him to the Lord in that place. And so if you're willing to do the warfare, the Lord will make his plan for their life come to bear. We don't have to fear. It's not something to fret about. It's something to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we need to know what the enemy's doing. Then you can pray against that. You don't have to be right there to lay on hands. It would be good if you're spirit-filled relatives could walk through there and draw a bloodline so that your mom has a little bit of freedom. But you can pray from a distance just as well as you can pray. There is something about the laying on of hands, but I'm talking about something different. You can maintain things before the throne of grace because God is omnipresent. Okay? So, before we move on, you can find all over every place, different symbols that represent these ancient mystic religions we've been talking about, different symbols of Freemasonry. This is a page of symbols related to Freemasonry. You see the 14 steps that start to form their symbol. One goes this way, one goes that way. It's interesting, we are in the decade of ayin, which means eye or to look again. So let Holy Spirit speak to you about what you're looking at, because a lot of things that are nice art sometimes were not created by the artist to be nice art. They were created to be a familiar object someone would take into their home. This is what I was telling you about in the Masonic hierarchy. The bottom is the U.S. Masonry. All of those levels on your sheet fall into this hierarchy. And then you get up into the European and you get into the light of limitless nothingness. Or in other words, enlightenment. You become a god. You're one of the Illuminati. You're one of the enlightened ones. That's where we're going to move into now, is a little bit more of the history of what's behind the Freemasonry. I don't think I have any more slides. So, in a little bit, I'm going to tell you seven spirits that are always prevalent in a region or a place where Freemasonry is present. But we're going to lead up to it with this. We said that the highest degree of Freemasonry is the 33rd degree, but the thing higher than that is the Illuminati. So let's look at the history of the Illuminati, because that's really what we're going to be battling against as we move forward. Remember I told you that the Knights Templar became important, and when you look at your sheet, you'll see where that is on your sheet. But the Knights Templar were involved in the Crusades. You remember that term from the Crusades? They were also highly involved in the Spanish Inquisition, but the Knights Templar is the pinnacle of the York Rite of Freemasonry. So if you're a Knights Templar, that means you're at the top of that York Rite on that side of the hierarchy that we gave you. This part of Freemasonry requires a person to be a nominal Christian to join. In other words, in order to get into that York Rite, you've got to know who Jesus is. Notice I didn't say serve Jesus. You're a nominal Christian. And as we said earlier, in the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s, in the U.S., they were going after nominal churched people. Men that were espousing a Sunday morning relationship with Jesus Christ. The most significant date in modern Freemasonry is May 1st, 1776. Does that year sound familiar to you? Just 2 months before. On that date, the final element of the evil equation of Freemasonry was introduced. Think of all the things that stream from the fertility cults and Islamic mysticism, alchemy, Templary, if you start to look at who the Knights Templar were, Rosicrucianism, the Masonic guilds of Europe. Think of all of these things in an old building. You know they had these stone arches that covered the doorways. You ever see one of those? Think of all those things as an arch, because it's part of the Freemason symbolism. All of these things make up a doorway to witchcraft. These are the arch stones, and they needed a keystone to secure them. Which state in the United States is the keystone state? Guess where Freemasonry is rampant? It's rampant here too. Every state. But they needed a keystone to hold all of those arch stones in place. And Satan provided that with subtle changes to Freemasonry. Men get into Freemasonry because they start to take part of the first line of the first pledge, this meeting, And then the next meeting they may get into part of the... They never see it on a piece of paper like you've got it. It's all memorized. A little bit at a time, the frog gets boiled. Satan started sowing subtle changes into their ancient mysticism so that he could position the Illuminati for where it is today. You know, he was cast down for a little while. We get to see our piece of the victory, keeping him from fulfilling what he wants to do. That's a whole different topic. When these changes were made, Freemasonry was forever changed by harnessing the exotic mystery religions into a spiritual engine that had enormous destructive power. The keystone to the arch was provided by an obscure Jesuit-trained professor of canon law at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria. His name was Adam Wiskopf. On May 1st, which happens to be another High Witch holiday, was the date that he selected for the foundation of his secret society called the Ancient and Illuminated Seers of Bavaria, AISB. It was founded on a mixture of Masonic secrets, Islamic mysticism, and Jesuit mental discipline. You see how they're all brought in. The element which made it even more unique and dangerous was its scientific use of the drug Alamut Hashish. Now, I was a hippie when I was growing up. Well, in between growing up and becoming a Christian, I don't think I was growing up while I was a hippie. I don't know what I was running from. But I can tell you that hashish was exactly what they used it for, to produce an illuminated state of mind. Hashish, the Alamut Hashish, is the drug of assassins. So in the 1700s, that was the drug that assassins took. They may still, I don't know. Illumination had long been a cherished component of Masonry, as it is with other occult groups. The Masonic candidate requests and is promised light in Masonry. As he goes up the ladder of initiation, he receives more light. It was because of this society's emphasis on illumination that the AISB became known by its more common name, the Illuminati. So what we know as the Illuminati was really this ancient and illuminated seers of Bavaria that started on May 1st, 1776. So the conspirators, which write some nice movies, do have some historical foundation. The term Illuminati is the plural of the Latin word illuminatus, meaning one who is illuminated. Thus, it means a person who has received the full extent of initiation that is available through Freemasonry, which is, by the way, exactly what Buddhism and Hinduism and all of the Eastern mysticism religions is all about, is being come more and more enlightened so we can become a god. Technically, an Illuminatus is a master mason who has received all the light Masonry can bestow. He is beyond the 32nd degree and even beyond the 33rd degree. I'm reading from a book that I'll give you the reference from. By several names other than Illuminati, such people are known as Master Masons, or Masons, or Masters of the Temple, and collectively they're known by several other names other than the Illuminati. Sometimes they are called the Great White Brotherhood, and other times they're called the Argentinium Astrum, or Silver Star. So you may have heard the word Silver Star before. Whatever they are called, they form an elite cadre of quote-unquote super Masons, with understanding of the principles of the craft far beyond the 33rd degree Mason. So basically in Bavaria, Weisskopf and his followers became so powerful with money that they decided they were going to overthrow the Bavarian government. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The government found out about the plot and they totally disbanded the ISB. So in order to keep the cult going, Weisskopf tirelessly worked to graft illumination specifically into the Knights Templar of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. If I can't do it on my own, I'm going to find something people accept and put it in there. Isn't that just like the enemy? When the ASB disbanded, they brought all Weisskopf's ideas into the Scottish Rite level of Freemasonry. Weisskopf produced the Law of Five with his inner circle, which was structured around the pentagram. So you want to know why pentagram is not a Christian symbol. God created everything, but has been perverted. The pentagram is the symbol of the blazing star of Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. So that's what it's the symbol of. According to the teaching of Masonry, this inner council was made up of five men. They were made up of Weisskopf's friend, Collamer. They were made up of Francis Dashwood. By the way, he's the founder of the Hellfire Club. Sounds like someplace I wouldn't want to join. It's not a barbecue joint. Another one of the men that made it up was Alphonse Donatien de Sade. We get our word sadism from his name, de Sade, sadism. So that tells you a little bit about this guy. And Michael Amschel Rothschild. You ever heard of the Rothschilds, the founder of the great modern banking system? Well, this is where it all ties back in. He was one of the five, and Weisskopf himself. Now, the number five in magic is associated with Mars. So everything's counterfeited. Why did God create the stars and the sun and the moon? For times and seasons, signs and wonders. Astronomy is science. Astrology is false worship. And so in their false worship, five is associated with Mars. However, in illumination, in illuminism, the Illuminati, it has even deeper levels of meaning. In an occult worldview of any sort, nothing is regarded as have five fingers and five toes, and the body has five appendages and five senses. So they look at how God made us, and they assign something to all of it. Do you have five senses? Do you know why you have five senses? So you can taste God, you can smell God, you can see God, you can feel God, and you can hear God. But the enemy has a counterfeit. The most powerful image in illuminist sorcery is the sign of the dragon. You see that in Dagon in 1 Samuel 5, where the Lord judges that and the hands break off. Eventually, the whole idol breaks. The hand and the palm with the five digits extended is their symbol. The law of fives ruled history. Weisskopf taught that everything occurred in fives. It's interesting that five is the number of grace in Scripture. What's the counterfeit of grace? Human history came in a cycle of five stages. That's what he teaches. Someone who understood these stages could then manipulate history to his own ends. So here are some of the five stages, a brief summary of what Weisskopf taught and perpetuated into Freemasonry. So this is why modern Freemasonry is so dangerous. It's taken all that ancient mysticism and Satan worship and Lucifer worship and combining it with this. Here's the five stages, according to Weisskopf's teaching, which you'll see are prevalent today, and I've put the German or Bavarian word there. Number one is chaos. This is the starting point of all societies, according to Weisskopf, chaos. Well, that's biblical. The earth was formless and void, and then God stepped in. It's also the place of humanity in its natural state. It related in Weisskopf's mind to the goddess cults of antiquity. In other words, especially to the goddess worship of Lilith, Eris, Diana, and Kali. Don't have time to go into all of them, but you get into all of the current homosexuality issues that are rampant because of how they tie back into this worship structure. Well, out of chaos comes number two, discord. Here, Weisskopf taught that a ruling class has to emerge and seize control. This causes problems because the average people who are not at the top resent the imposition of authority that's thrust upon them and they try to fight against it. Sound familiar? Weisskopf related this period to the introduction or imposition of the worship of a male god, such as Yahweh, the God of the Bible, or Marduk, or Osiris. So he says it doesn't matter which one, but because of discord, there has to be a male god. This is his teaching. This is what is now the teaching of Freemasonry. Number three, out of discord comes confusion. Weisskopf saw this period as a time people would attempt to restore a balance between the two preceding forces. In other words, we didn't like chaos, we didn't like discord, so now we're going to do something to try and reconcile that. It was supposedly an attempt to reprogram human nature and make it fit into stage two. He related this period to the child god, Loki or Horus, or to a kind of devil. So this is where Weisskopf said the devil fits in. I think he fits into confusion very nicely. And then comes bureaucracy. The result of the synthesis of stage three, or confusion failing, is bureaucracy. In this period, everything must be obsessively tracked, kept track of, because folks can't take care of themselves. I don't know if you see what I see in this, but it sounds like where we're at. You can't do it, so let us do it for you. Weisskopf believed that there would be a spiritual void during this stage. Sound familiar? And absolutely no deity would be acknowledged. That's the path they're trying to take the United States down. But we know God reigns. The only God becomes the ruling bureaucracy. Socialism, Marxism, communism, the only God is the ruling bureaucracy. Folks cannot abide this void and escape into fantasy, drugs, and madness. And that's what we see happening all around us. The rulers must continue to appear to control and know everything, and the burden on the slave class beneath them makes them unfit for anything. Those, they then lose their job, or they end up on the dole or in hospitals. And we see a lot of that happening. It's during this phase that the destruction of the middle class takes place. We saw it in Argentina in the early 1900s. That's what's happening in the United States right now. Without a middle class to generate capital, the entire mass collapses into number five, the aftermath. This, Weisskopf taught, was the implosion of society into itself and a reversion back to chaos. Look at some of our cities. That's what is trying to be forced upon those cities. I'm going to take an aside. Do you know what happened in St. Louis, outside of St. Louis, a year and a half ago? Do you know that the church set up a tent? I mean, the body of Christ in that region set up a tent, and for 12 hours every day when the curfew wasn't in effect, they were praying and worshiping in that tent. And whether it was a rioter, most of whom were brought in, or a policeman, they offered them food and refreshments and prayed for them. Do you know that the body of Christ kept what was meant to be ugly from getting real ugly? Did you see that on the nightly news? No. But it was happening. We know people that were there and involved with it. The body of Christ can change the plan of the enemy just by being an ambassador for Christ in the midst of a situation. Weisskopf taught that the bureaucracy crashes under the weight of its own red tape and things begin to whirl out of control. I think $17 billion in debt is whirling out of control myself, or $17 trillion in debt is whirling out of control. Magic and nature now begin to rule again, and the cycle is in preparation to start all over. This is where the Scottish Rite 32nd degree motto comes from: order from chaos. The Masons teach and believe that the Masons will bring order out of the chaos and rule the world. That's the Illuminati's teaching. That's where all of these conspiracy things of one world government, one world order come from. Now, there's an excellent series of DVDs called Riddles in Stone. That's one of the things I've given you in your resources. It's about 9 hours long. It's in three DVD sections. About 2 hours to 3 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes to 3 hours in each section. You can stream it or you can buy it. It's hard to watch, but you'll find a lot of these things in here. You'll see where things are. Now, at the break we were talking, our nation was founded by two distinct groups of people. We weren't founded for business prosperity and freedom. We were founded for religious freedom. In many places, sincere believers came to bring the gospel of the kingdom of God to bear. However, there was this other group that came out of Weisskopf's society that came to establish, as you saw Washington, as you saw earlier Colorado, as you see every state, to found as much as they could on the principles of Freemasonry. Many of our founding fathers were Freemasons. Many of them died Freemasons. Several of them renounced it. George Washington was the most famous Freemason. George Washington renounced Freemasonry well before he died and refused to have anything to do with Freemasonry or its plan for our nation. Guess who controls most of the history of our nation? Because they control most of the libraries. It's very hard to find a photo, or a drawing rather, or a painting of George Washington without his Freemason apron, his Masonic apron, which he refused to wear. You know why they wore those aprons? To do sacrifices. He realized that it was not Christ. Many of them, when they realized that, like the gentleman you were talking about, and tried to expose it, it's not kind of hard to kill anybody nowadays, but it's kind of hard to kill your founding father that many people loved. He had a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. But the history writers don't want us to know that he renounced what was part of his earlier history, and that was an allurement to Luciferian doctrines, Freemasonry. We have the intentional design of our capital because of Freemasons. We have groups constantly doing land cleanses and breaking the things. Why does it keep having to be done? Because this is a battle. This is a war. The enemy will try to take back. Jesus said to occupy until I return. He also told us that we start here first. When you clean the house, when you clean your land, when you clean your city, and the enemy comes and finds it clean and swept in order and no one keeping the door, he comes and brings seven other with it, that's eight, stronger than him, that's a new demonic beginning that's worse than what you had before. And so he's asked us to occupy, to maintain the gains until we return. Why? Read the end of Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. So our children will possess the gates of their enemy. See, Daddy's a generational God. What you and I maintain, our kids can walk into. What they maintain, their kids can walk into. And one of these generations is going to welcome back the King of Kings, because he's going to say, look, Dad, they did what we asked them to. So the pilgrims came and established a righteous covenant with the land. But others came that were deeply involved with Freemasonry and wanted to build our nation on the tenets of Freemasonry. How many of you remember Buzz Aldrin? Here's an aside that's not in my bio. You'll know what only Casey and I know, but I wanted to be a mission specialist on the shuttles. And when I got out of graduate school, I applied and I was told they were looking for female biochemists. So I got rejected. And a year later, they asked me to apply again. And I said, no, I've started a career, I've started a family, I've changed. It takes about 7 to 8 years to get trained to be on a mission. I was standing in the bank vault, so this would be 1986, it would be March of 1986. Getting our house, actually, it was early March of 86, getting our house in Tennessee ready to sell because the Lord had told us to stay in Rochester, and we did. And I'm listening to the launch. 1-0, liftoff, boom! That was the first one I would have been eligible to be on. The first one that blew up. And I thought, there is God doing something on my behalf. So back to Buzz Aldrin. He was the third man who walked the moon. He was a Mason. And he carried a letter from the three highest Masons in our nation, which means one of them was the Illuminati. There's a photo copy of that letter hanging in the Masonic Temple in Waco, Texas. If you can get into that library, we know someone who did, and this is who we learned this from. In the letter, the three highest Masons in the U.S. claimed the moon for ISIS and Freemasonry. Remember, she's the moon god. Buzz Aldrin buried that letter in a time capsule on the moon because he wanted Masons to have ownership of the moon before anyone else could. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. It's kind of hard. I mean, you can find this in the literature, you can find it on the internet, and you can find it in their temples. So, if you're going to contend with Freemasonry, and if you live in this region, whether you know it or not, you are contending with Freemasonry. You are always going to contend with these seven spirits. These seven spirits are always dealt with, whether you're dealing with Freemasonry individually, with a person, or corporately, or regionally for the land. Do you know why Charles Finney refused to come to Rochester? Did you know that Charles Finney refused to come to Rochester? He refused to come to Rochester until every pastor repented of their Freemason involvement. Because you can't bring Christ into something that's desired. Remember the scripture we opened with? Come out from among them, no admixture. When they repented, then Father Nash came. And he prayed 6 months. Did you know that Finney was a Mason, very high level, when he was a lawyer? He knew exactly what he was battling against when he went into a region. And this region was laced with Freemasonry. First spirit you're going to deal with is witchcraft. I hope you understand why, based on what we've just talked about. They're not in any specific order. The second is the Antichrist spirit. I hope you can see that everything that we've talked about is against Christ. The third is infirmity. You'll begin to see that when you see some of the curses they pray over themselves and their lineage, if they should ever expose Freemasonry. The fourth is a lying spirit, often known as Leviathan, which is prevalent in this region, also the crocodile. By the way, once you close the seven mouths of the Leviathan, yes, the scripture says he has seven heads. You know why it's hard to wrestle with an alligator or a crocodile? Because you concentrate so much on the mouth that the tail, remember we talked about chaos, creates such a chaos and confusion that you let go of the mouth and then you're done. When you battle, you got to battle the whole thing. And by the way to defeat that is to ram the sword of the spirit down its throat, rip open its belly. Isn't that what the scripture says? Don't rile Leviathan. Your arrows can't pierce it. Your swords can't. The only way is to go through the lie itself.